Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dowd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. Today, we're going to talk about something that might sound a little bit different to what you usually hear about what you should be eating. We're going to be talking about a ketogenic diet. And basically what that is a high fat, adequate protein, low carb diet. And the way I found out about this is because a very good friend of mine who has cancer is on this diet, and it has actually helped her cancer. And not only did it help her cancer, but it's helping a lot of people with their cancers. And when I read the book, I actually read the book that my guest today wrote, because my friend recommended it to me because it has a recipe. We're going to talk about the recipe too. It has a recipe for a gluten-free bread that really looks like bread and tastes like bread. And I made some this morning, and oh my God, it really is like bread. And I just toasted one of that. You make them like in little rolls, like little hamburger bun kind of rolls. And I just sliced one in half and put it in the oven with some butter on it, and it came out all crispy and toasty. And I'm very excited about this because it's a very different texture, much more like bread than most gluten-free breads are. And so my friend wanted me to know about this, and I read the book, and I learned so much about food, just so much. And I read a lot of books about food, but I learned things that I didn't know about food by reading this book, and we're going to talk about those too. So this morning I'm going through my emails, and I get a lot of health-oriented newsletters. And this morning there was one with the headline, "Woman Battles Deadly Brain Cancer Using Low-Carb Ketogenic Diet Without Chemo." And so obviously we're going in the right direction here. But even if you don't have cancer, you probably want to listen to this today and look into this, because it will help prevent cancer. Obviously, we can't say that it cures cancer, but people fight cancer with it. But even if you don't have cancer, if you don't want to have cancer, this diet particularly sets up your body in a way that will make it very difficult for cancer to develop. And we'll find out more about that coming up. The name of my guest is Ellen Davis. She's the author of Fight Cancer with a Ketogenic Diet and creator of ketogenicdietresource.com. Welcome, Ellen.
Well, thank you for having me.
Glad it's my pleasure. Here. I really love your book.
Thank you.
It's another thing I like about it. Not only is it full of really great and useful information for keeping people healthy, but it's very easy to read. Ellen writes in a very straightforward manner that made things that I've read 10 times other places very understandable. And so I really appreciate it, and I think everybody should have your book.
Well, thank you.
So tell us how you got interested in this subject.
Well, it's been a long journey. I started about 5 years ago. I was having the symptoms of diabetes, and my mother was diabetic. My grandmother was diabetic, so it kind of scared me. And I started looking at my diet and made some changes. The first thing I did was take processed food out of my diet, and I felt a lot better after doing that. But as I went along, I started finding that the more that I avoided bread and carbohydrates in general, I felt even better. So that kind of snowballed into learning about the ketogenic diet, just looking at low-carb diets, and then just going further and looking at the ketogenic diet. And I decided that all of the information that I had learned over my research of two to three years needed to be shared with people. So I started a website called the Ketogenic Diet Resource, and that is the place where I put all of the research I find about the efficacy of that diet in promoting health. And it not only can be used to treat cancer, but it's been, that particular diet's been used to treat epilepsy in kids for the last 20, 30 years. And so it was only known in the medical circles in that area, but it actually has a lot of beneficial effects for many different diseases, including Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and general health things like GERD and reflux disease and things like that, and just joint pain. And it's just really, the diet itself is just very beneficial for human health.
Well, let's just jump right in and talk about the diet. because there's so much to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So explain just basically what a ketogenic diet is.
So a ketogenic diet is a diet in which you restrict carbohydrates to a very low level, and you eat just enough protein to support your lean body mass. And by that, I mean the part of your body that's all muscle and bone, that's not fat, basically. And then the rest of the calories come from natural fat, and that has the effect of changing the body's biochemistry. When you restrict carbohydrates, you go into a state in which the body doesn't have enough carbohydrates to provide the brain with fuel, and so it switches over to burning fat for fuel instead. And when you break down fat through the liver, it creates these things called ketone bodies, and that's where the ketogenic comes from, because that process is called ketogenesis. So as those ketones get to higher levels in the bloodstream, when they get to a certain level, the brain can start using them for fuel, and so it doesn't need as much glucose. And the brain actually prefers to burn ketones. It does better on them, as do your muscles as well. So
I find that to be very interesting, because I didn't know that. I can't tell you how many books I've read about food and diets. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that until I read your book, that the body actually prefers ketones.
Yeah.
And I have always read since I was a child in school that what your body runs on is glucose.
Right.
And so to have this idea that we should be running our bodies on fat instead of sugar was mm-hmm. a totally new thing for me. And yet, I don't remember if it was in your book, or I've been reading like about 5 books this week. One of the books that I read said that the body in times of emergency, well, what the body does is it actually stores fat. We think that storing fat is a bad thing because we don't want to be fat. But the point was that our bodies store fat so that in times gone by, when we didn't have all of the food that we have available now, and that people were living out in the wild for millennia, and that food was irregular, so mm-hmm. we needed to store some fat as a survival thing,
right.
so that until we yeah. hunted the next woolly mammoth or whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and,
I
yeah.
write that on my website as well. But is true. That's absolutely true. And this is the controversy over low carb diets that is, you know, everybody sees in the mainstream media, which is completely incorrect. And most dietitians will tell you, and these are you know, registered dietitians trained by the American Dietetic Association.
Yeah.
Most of them will tell you that you will die without carbohydrates, mm-hmm. which is completely false. There is no biochemical need for an essential. There are no essential carbohydrates. Meaning that if you don't get carbohydrates from your diet, it doesn't matter. You'll still go along just fine. And even the Bible that the American Dietetic Association goes by says that for all intents and purposes, the human body does not need carbohydrates coming from the diet to survive. So that totally negates that.
Right.
That assertion from them that you have to have carbohydrates. What they don't understand is that if your diet is very high in carbohydrates, it stops your body from using ketones. So if your blood sugar is high, that means insulin is going to be high. So insulin is the hormone that helps your body store blood sugar, because you don't want to have a lot of sugar in your blood because it causes problems. Those are the problems that diabetics deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So your body has a mechanism to move that sugar out of your bloodstream into your cells as quickly as possible because it is somewhat toxic. So when that happens on a regular basis, you know, if you eat a high-carb diet, then your blood sugar is pretty high all the time, which means that your insulin is going to be high because it's always having to store that sugar.
Right.
When insulin is high in your bloodstream, it stops your body from burning fat. It literally locks the fat that you've stored in your fat cells. It's not available to you anymore as a fuel. So yes, when you are adapted to a high-carb diet, if you don't get something to eat, you're going to feel pretty crappy. You're going to feel shaky. You're going to feel like you don't have a lot of energy because your body is used to burning a fuel that it can't store very much of. So you can only store about 1,600 calories of, of glucose in your body. So if you don't eat every, you know, 6-8 hours, you start to feel kind of shaky because you're getting low on fuel.
We need to take a break.
Sure.
But after, we'll talk more about this. And the point that I wanted to make is that our body prefers to burn fat. And we're going to talk about that more when we come back from the break. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Ellen Davis, author of Fight Cancer with a Ketogenic Diet. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Ellen Davis, author of Fight Cancer with a Ketogenic Diet. And her website is ketogenicdietresource.com. And she also has a couple of other websites, healthyeatingpolitics.com and glutenfreedietresource.com. She's a very prolific writer and a very excellent researcher. A lot of what she says, I totally agree with. There's a few things I don't agree with. Ellen, I didn't want to put my my butter in the microwave to melt it in your recipe.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But but the basic things that you say, I totally agree with. We were talking before the break about how the body's preferred fuel is actually fat. That's what it stores for emergencies. It doesn't store glucose.
Correct.
For long-term fuel. So tell us more about that.
So I'll just skip to the punchline on that. I was just saying how dietitians recommend a high-carb diet because that's what everybody eats. But if you lower your carbohydrate intake and you adapt to using, you know, to breaking down fat and using the products of fat called ketones for fuel, your body does much better on that fuel. And that's what dietitians don't know. They assume, like doctors do, that ketones have something to do with what's called ketoacidosis, which is a dangerous condition that type 1 diabetics can exhibit. But the difference between the two, so there's a difference between nutritional ketosis, which is what I'm talking about, and ketoacidosis. So the difference is just in the volume of ketones that are released into the body. In a diabetic situation, it's 10 times or 20 times what you would have in nutritional ketosis. So ketones are beneficial for the body, but if you haven't done the research, you wouldn't know that. So
So I've been eating more fat. I mean, there's been times in my life I always want to eat fat. My whole life, I've wanted to eat fat. I like butter is my favorite food. I can just eat butter out of just butter.
Yeah, I do the same.
You know, I'm just always looking for things to put butter on, you know, because I need to put it on something.
Yeah.
And avocados and all these things that are very high fat, I always want to eat them. And so when I was trying to do like a low fat diet, the hardest thing for me was to just reduce the amount of fat I was eating. Or people would say you have to reduce your calories, and fat has more calories per gram than anything else. So you really have to reduce the amount of fat. And yet I found that as I've just been letting myself eat all the fat I want, butter all over everything, and lots of coconut oil and, you know, the right kind of fat, not trans fat and things like that, but good fat, that I'm losing weight with no problem. Whereas before,
well, good for you. That's excellent. That's great.
Yeah. And my body feels better and I sleep better and I have more energy and I'm not craving food. And you know, it's just, since I've been doing this for the past month or so, a little 6 weeks or so now, the amount of food that I'm eating is less and less because my body's starting to burn some of my fat as fuel, and I'm not so hungry. And some days I wake up in the morning and I don't even remember to eat because I'm not hungry. Whereas before I would be starving in the morning.
Yeah.
Just
starving. That's a side effect of ketosis. It diminishes hunger.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm very happy with this. Now, I see in your book that the percentages for what you call a restricted ketogenic diet is 75 to 80% fat and oil, 15 to 20% protein, and that would be just the amount of protein that you need, and then 5% leafy green fibrous vegetables.
Yeah.
How do you get, for most people, the thought of, like, I understand how to do this now, but tell us, how do you get 80% of your diet to be fat?
Well, you have to be very careful about how much protein you're eating. That's where people kind of, I think, have the most difficulty. I mean, you can cut your carbohydrates. You just cut all of the, you know, grains and flour and sugars and, you know, anything, cakes, cookies, bread, stuff like that, pasta, cut that out of your diet. And there's still a lot of food left to eat. There's all kinds of meat you can eat and all kinds of fats. But fat, since fat does have 9 calories per gram and protein and carbohydrates only have 4 calories, it doesn't take much fat to get to 80% of your calories.
Right.
So you could have, you know, a typical day would be, you know, a couple of eggs scrambled in 2 tablespoons of butter, and that's only 14 grams of protein and about 30 or 40 grams of fat.
Mm-hmm.
So already you're up there. So, and then lunch could be, I mean, a lot of times I will have 4 ounces of sour cream mixed with cinnamon and cardamom and a little bit of stevia, and that might be lunch.
Wow.
I mean, that's, I know you don't eat dairy, but, you know, you could do it with avocado. You could have a huge bowl of mashed avocado with onions and, you know, tomatoes and a few other vegetables.
I do that. That's actually my afternoon snack, because I eat a whole avocado with tomatoes and green onions and paprika.
Sure. Yeah. So, yeah, I forgot that you don't do dairy. Sorry about that. But, yeah, so there's lots of ways you can do it. You can add a couple of, it's just basically adding fats to your meal. So dinner could be, you know, 3 or 4 ounces of some kind of protein, meat or poultry or fish, and then you might make a hollandaise sauce to go over it, or you might just put a whole ton of butter on it. Or it doesn't take much to get up to 80% fat.
Yeah, because what we're talking about is percentage of calories, not percentage of food. It's not 80% of
what's on your plate. You know, and so that's also going to change. You know, if you're having 1,200 calories a day, then you would eat, you start with your protein. So if you're a person that weighs 126 pounds, and let's say your lean body mass is 100 pounds, or let's say, yeah, we'll say 100 pounds, and so your protein is going to be set at 1 gram per kilogram of lean body mass. So that's about,
In American numbers?
So in American numbers, that's going to be 100 divided by 2.2, because that gives you your kilograms.
Okay.
So if you do that, that comes out to about 45 grams. So, and then it's 1 gram per. So that's 45 grams of protein for somebody that's about 125 pounds. And then your carbohydrates are going to be, you know, below 20. If you're a cancer patient, it would be below 12 to start. And then the rest of the calories are fat. So if you take that all out and you do 45 grams of protein times 4, and this is all done in the book for people.
Yeah.
They can figure it out in the book themselves. There's a little thing that they follow. But that's about 200 calories worth of protein. So you have about 1,000 calories worth of fat to eat. That's only about 90 grams of fat. And that's really not that much, because a tablespoon of butter has 12 grams of fat in it.
Right.
So
that's like,
you know, 90 grams adds up really quick.
Fat. Like 10 tablespoons of butter and avocados and cream and all that stuff.
Right.
We need to take another break, but we'll be back. My guest today is Ellen Davis, author of Fight Cancer with Ketogenic Diet, And we'll talk more about the diet and what we can eat and how it helps your health. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Ellen Davis, author of Fight Cancer with a Ketogenic Diet. She also has a website, ketogenicdietresource.com, where she has lots of information about this diet, including recipes, and you can order her book online there. Just a very interesting book. So, Ellen, I want to make sure that we have plenty of time to talk about this subject I'm about to say, because when I read this, I thought, oh my God, if I hadn't already done this, I would sure do it now, because for this reason. Tell us about what cancer cells love to eat.
So cancer cells love sugar because it's the only fuel that they can burn.
Say that again.
Cancer cells love sugar. It's because it's the only cell fuel that they can burn.
Okay, so now when I read that, I thought, oh my God, there's all these people who are eating sugar, and we're all talking about diabetes and things like that, but we're not talking about how sugar, I'm not going to say that sugar causes cancer, but cancer cells can't survive without eating sugar. So if we remove the sugar from our bodies, then if we don't have cancer, the cancer is not going to grow because the food isn't there for them. And if we do have cancer, it's going to help a lot to reduce it. And so it's like, it seems like such an obvious thing to me that if I hadn't already eliminated sugar years ago, I would do it right now. I would just go to my kitchen and take every piece of sugar out of it. And it's not just talking about, you know, like white sugar, but this is why it's a low carb diet, is because cancer cells love sugar.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just, I actually had never heard that before. Not that I'm not saying you're the only person who's ever said that, but I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, and it's what's funny about it that it's interesting to me why doctors don't embrace this more is that they use a glucose, you know, sugar is the medical term is glucose in the body, and they use a chemical that is what's called a glucose analog to find cancer in the body. Because cancer cells, when you inject this drug, the cancer cells love sugar, so they suck it up. And it glows. It has a tracer in it, a fluorescent tracer in it, and that's how they find cancer on a PET scan.
And so
they give people a glucose analog drug.
That's just so obvious. If that's how they find cancer, yep.
I have a video on my website from Sloan Kettering, one of the top cancer centers in the country, and the president of Sloan Kettering talking about. How a high carbohydrate diet is probably not a good idea.
Wow. Well, so everybody that's listening, this is another reason why I have been on a low carb diet for many years. But what I have learned from studying the paleo diet and from what I've learned from Ellen's book, there's more to it than simply eliminating carbs. And this is why it's so necessary to, it's like low carb is a good place to start, and gluten-free is a good place to start, but there's more to it, is about what I can say. So let's see, what else do I want to say? All right, now tell us about how different foods affect blood sugar and insulin, because that's what we want to do, is we want to keep our blood sugar down, because that is what fuels cancer. That's what makes our body store fat, and then all these other symptoms that come from that.
Sure, yeah. So there's three different types of food and what we call macronutrients. There's carbohydrates, there's proteins, and there's fats. Carbohydrates have the greatest effect, of course, on sugars. Any amount of carbohydrate that you eat, and people talk about good carbs and bad carbs, but all carbohydrates drive up blood sugar. I don't care if it comes from a potato or, you know, a huge salad or whatever it is, that's still carbohydrate and it's still going to have an effect on blood sugar. Protein has less of an effect, although it still has an effect. It also, it's just a less of effect. Unless you eat a lot of excess protein, the effect on blood sugar is not as great as carbohydrates. So if you sit down and eat a 24-ounce steak, you're going to have a pretty big insulin and glucose response.
Well, wait, before you go on about this, I want to make sure that this point is clear, because this is something that I didn't know. And here I was trying to control my blood sugar for years and years and years and eating all the protein I wanted, because I thought that protein didn't affect your blood sugar. But right. The point that you made is that if you eat the amount of protein that your body needs in order to repair your body, then you're using up the protein. It's the excess protein that
Correct.
Makes your blood sugar go up.
Right, yeah. So if you're eating way over what you need for body maintenance, anything that's not being used gets turned into glucose in the body.
And see, I think that I was already on the right track, because I eat about 3 ounces of protein per meal, and I think that that's right for me.
That's
and,
about right, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, don't you have some way in your book of figuring out how much protein you need?
I do, yeah. Absolutely. There's a whole little process.
Everyone can figure that out for themselves. And so for me, that's something like 2 eggs in a meal, whichever meal I decide I want to put them in, and like 3 ounces of chicken, or 3 ounces of grass-fed beef. And I have a pretty good idea of what that looks like now. And I also do things like make soup, where I'll make like 4 or 6 servings of soup to eat all week, and I'll put in the right amount of meat so that I have, you know, if I just eat my serving, it's got it in there already.
Yeah.
You know, so that was one of the things that I thought was most interesting, because you think of fat, I think most people understand that fat has no carbs and it doesn't, and protein has no carbs. So people think if it doesn't have any carbs, it doesn't affect your blood sugar. But that's not true because protein, protein can affect your blood sugar if you eat too much.
Right. So, and then fats have no effect on blood sugar. Or very, very little effect. So the higher your diet is in fats and the lower it is in carb and protein, the less effect you're going to have on blood sugar and insulin.
Isn't that interesting that the body prefers to burn fat and there's no, it doesn't raise the blood sugar at all?
Right. Yeah, very because our blood, in your blood, there's only about, for a normal person, only about a teaspoon worth of glucose circulating at any one time. So when you go eat a bagel, that's 16 teaspoons of sugar you've just dumped into your system.
Oh.
And your body's just not designed to handle that sugar load. And we didn't have that kind of sugar load until about 10,000 years ago.
Too.
Yeah, it's just, and we didn't have that kind of sugar load on our biology until agriculture started about 10,000 years ago. And that was because, you know, there were various reasons why that started. But we just are not genetically designed to handle that much carbohydrate.
Interesting. So on this article that I was talking about at the beginning where about the woman who was battling brain cancer using the ketogenic diet, they had a little clip from the Andy Griffith Show, and Aunt B had made a pie, and they were talking about how they shouldn't eat the pie, they should eat the meatloaf. And she was talking about how at that particular time back in the 60s, we knew we should be eating meatloaf and not pie, and now it's completely flipped.
Yeah, anyway, and it was in the 70s that switched around when the McGovern Committee decided that low-fat, you know, that low-fat was the way to go, and then the media picked it up. And but before then, everybody knew that carbohydrates were fattening.
I need to interrupt you because we need to take a break. We need to take a break or the commercial is going to come in on top of you. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest is Ellen Davis, and we'll be talking more about the ketogenic diet when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And my guest today is Ellen Davis, author of Fight Cancer with a Ketogenic Diet. And Ellen's website is ketogenicdietresources.com. It's ketogenic-diet-resource.com. Ellen, if somebody wants to get started on a ketogenic diet, like, can anybody do this, or are there people who shouldn't be doing it, and how would you get started?
There are people that should not be doing it. On my website, I have a page called the Keto Diet Plan, and I have one of the first things I do is there's a list there that you can download that has some medical conditions that are contraindicated for the ketogenic diet, meaning you shouldn't be doing the ketogenic diet if you have these conditions. So I would recommend that people look at that page. It's called the Keto Diet Plan page on my website, and it has that information there. If you don't have any of those conditions, then the ketogenic diet is safe. And it's non-toxic, and it's healthy for just about everyone. So if you want to start it, you can go to that page. But it's basically just being conscious of your carbohydrate intake and, knocking down your protein a little bit and eating mostly natural fats and green leafy vegetables and meat, fresh meats. It's really a fresh food diet. It's just getting rid of mostly, you could do it just by getting rid of processed food.
Well, right. But I found for myself that I got rid of processed food a long time ago, but I was still eating like the wrong relationships of fat and carb and protein. So I was on a low carb diet, but I think I was eating too much protein and not enough fat.
Yeah.
When I started changing around the fat, that made a big difference in my ability to lose weight and how my body looked and how I feel. One of the things that I highlighted in your book is about coconut oil. Now, a lot of diets, a lot of websites where they're talking about low carb or real food, coconut oil is a big thing. And, you know, I read a lot about why people think that different foods are healthy and why they think that they're not healthy. But one of the things that you say about coconut oil is that if you take coconut oil, it gets converted directly into ketones in your body. And so that's a way that just by adding more coconut oil to your diet, you can make that transition faster.
Correct. Yeah. At the beginning, that's recommended, you know, to help ramp up ketosis is to take, you know, a tablespoon or so of coconut oil. You don't want to go crazy, though, because if you're not used to that, it will, you know, cause some bowel issues. So you want to go slowly on ramping up your coconut oil intake.
Well, there's a lot of, I remember when, there's so many different ways. Tell us, like how are different ways that you might use coconut oil? Because I know that it's not something that one would typically, like, put on their salad and salad dressing or
right.
things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because it is a saturated fat, so it's solid at room temperature, so you kind of have to melt it if you want to use it as an oil. But my favorite ways to have coconut is to get coconut butter and just eat it right out of the jar. It's really good. If you've never had Artesana's coconut butter, I highly recommend it.
I have, it's delicious.
So I'll do that a lot. Or, you know, you can use it to fry foods or, you know, if you like, a lot of people will fry their eggs. And a lot of people will take it and put it in a hot drink in the morning and drink it. So they'll put it in coffee.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
People like coffee, or they'll put it in tea or something like that.
So we don't have to avoid fried foods on this diet.
No, you just don't want to fry. You just don't want to have vegetable oils. First of all, you want to fry in either butter or olive oil or coconut oil.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, and you don't want to. Of course, you don't want to bread anything. You just want to fry.
Right.
You know, if you want to have fried eggs in the morning, you can have that. Or, I fry stuff. I have all my Calphalon skillets get used very, very frequently.
I made the other day, fried chicken by first putting it in coconut flour and then dipping it in egg and then dipping it in coconut flakes. And then I put about an inch of coconut oil in my skillet and I really fried them and they were crispy and just all the characteristics of what you would want in fried chicken.
Boy,
except
that
they didn't taste like, you know, that they were dipped in wheat. They tasted kind of coconutty. But they were crispy and salty, and they were wonderful.
That's
wonderful.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that can be done. And I love being able to have more fat in my diet. So we have about 5 minutes left, 5 or 6 minutes left. So what is there anything you want to talk about we haven't covered?
Yeah, there's quite a few things. You know, this diet can be used to prevent cancer. I think you mentioned that at the beginning of the show. And you don't, you know, cancer patients are restricted to a pretty low carbohydrate intake, maybe 12 grams. But you could start this diet at, you know, 50 grams of carbohydrate because that's really the kind of the cutoff for ketosis. So as long as you're eating a moderate amount of protein and you're staying below 50 carbs, you can, you know, get a lot of the benefits from a ketogenic diet. And that gives you a little more choices, you know, in terms of what you can eat. Because at 50 carbs, you could probably have a few strawberries or, you know, something like that during the day. So it's not as restrictive for cancer prevention or just, you know, to optimize health. Like I say, you can stay right around 50 grams for that. And my website has a lot of menu plans and some other things that people can look at. There's quite a bit of information there if somebody wants to start the diet.
Good. One thing I just realized that I wanted to say is when I was reading your book, I realized about how we get all these nutrients from foods. And one of the things that my doctor said to me, because I was commenting to him, my medical doctor, that I'm not so hungry. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's because your body's actually getting nourished.
Correct.
And it's actually getting nourishment from foods. And for years, I've heard this argument about whether or not people need to take supplements because, can they get enough nourishment from food? Well, now what I would say after eating this way is I would say, I'm getting so much nourishment from food that I look at my pile of supplements and I go, you know what? I don't really feel like taking these.
Mm-hmm.
And I am taking much less supplements than I used to, but it occurred to me that the only reason that supplements even exist is because people aren't eating real food.
Correct.
And the supplements, I mean, even if we go, like, the worst supplements to take would be those made from synthetic nutrients and have synthetic additives in them. But then you can go to whole food supplements. But still, it's even better to just get your nutrients from food. And if you're eating these whole foods that are nutrient dense, like eating complete proteins, eating fats. Those are where the nutrients are. And they have, like, for per calorie, eating protein and fats, animal proteins and fats, has so much more nutrition than eating plants.
Correct.
And so here we have food that doesn't have nutrition, and then we're being sold the nutrition in a bottle and a pill.
It doesn't make much sense.
It doesn't make much sense.
Mm-mm.
No.
No, it's a crazy way to do a food chain, but that's where it is right now for the American diet.
Yep. Okay, so what else do we need to know? We've got about 3 minutes.
The thing I would also say about the ketogenic diet is it's anti-inflammatory. So if you're having any kind of inflammation issues, this is definitely a diet you want to check out and look at, because it is very anti-inflammatory. It really shuts down inflammation even at the cellular level. So it's something that people want to take a look at if they have a high C-reactive protein reading, or they're having any kind of inflammation issues within the body. It's something that they should definitely take a look at.
Good. So tell us typically like what you eat.
In the morning, usually I'll make a quiche on the weekend. So I have a quiche that's, again, I'm a dairy person, so it'll have heavy cream in it and cheese and eggs. But if you didn't want to have dairy, you could have eggs in the morning with bacon or a gluten-free sausage. That's another favorite breakfast of mine. Lunch is usually, like I said, either, you know, a very high-fat meal or sour cream or avocado or a salad sometimes with some meat on top of it. And dinner is usually a piece of fish or a piece of chicken and some more green vegetables, fried in butter, of course.
So let's see, what do you eat for your carbs? Your carbs are basically green vegetables.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'll make, you know, the bread with the almond flour, and that's got a few carbs in it, and I'll have one of those or so. But I don't usually eat very many carbs during the day. I just have found that with my blood sugar, the past blood sugar issues that I've had, that if I go over 20 or 30 carbs a day, I start to not feel good. So I keep it pretty low for myself, but that's not always the case for everyone. If you don't have any blood sugar issues, like I say, you can probably get, there are some people that can eat 100 carbs a day and still be in ketosis. It just depends on what your metabolism is doing.
Yeah. Everybody's body is different.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ellen, thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate the information that you put together in your book and on your website, and I'm going to be looking at this more. And so let's talk about your recipe. So on my food blog, and so you can just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and go to food in the menu across the top, and I put in there Ellen's recipe for making her sandwich rolls, her bread. And this bread, these rolls are just, if you showed them to somebody or had them eat them, they would not say, ew, what's this? They'd say, oh, this is good bread. It really looks and tastes like a wheat roll. And it turns purple when you bake it, so they're a very beautiful color.
Yeah, I know. You know, sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes it does. I think it's the type of psyllium that you get is the only thing I can figure out, because sometimes mine doesn't do that. So
we've got to go. This is the end of the show. Thank you for being with me today. Toxicfreetalkradio.com.
Take care.